Do you know why I brought you here?
To demonstrate podcast pose?
I need you to do all this yoga.
This is the Loading Ready Run podcast for November 6th, 2010.
Can we do it again? I forgot to, like, do the arms.
Also, I said 2-2010.
I don't think they'll come through.
This is from 2,000 years in the future.
You're so sexy.
20,000 years.
20,000 years. Yeah. Right.
Future, yeah.
Yeah.
2010.
You think we would have some sort of better technology by then?
No.
But
or a new dating system.
There's a fall of civilization a couple times, actually.
There's better pizza.
So we're basically exactly where we were.
Hmm.
It could be 2,000 years, assuming like some cataclysmic event.
20,000 years?
Well, no, it could be 2,000 years if you assume that some cataclysmic event happens this year and we restart the calendar. So it's eon, like, era 2, 2010.
So it's like 2010 Mark 2.
Yeah.
That would be an awesome date system.
World-ending event, so we reset the calendar back to year zero.
But we put a 2 after it just so we remember.
But it's like the second era.
I'm glad we've justified that.
Yeah, that's right.
Vindicated. Okay, videos that we will be discussing. A lot of them. But first, Trapped.
Trapped. That's a video.
Yeah, or the Halloween special.
The Halloween special.
As it was until I called it Trapped.
Or Commodore Hustle Halloween, as it was called at one point.
Yeah. I couldn't call it The Basement again, because we already had a video called The Basement.
It's true.
I asked the escapist, specifically, by the way, to put in, like, a shot of the axe or something for the screenshot, which worked really well, because a lot of people were like, wait, really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
So...
Aha.
So,
fooled you.
So we were talking about what to do for Halloween special. I kind of mentioned this told this story all in a blog post a little while ago. But we were talking about what to do for a Halloween special, and I had the idea of like a Blair Witch style thing for a Halloween special, kicking around my idea from like 2 weeks before that, and it had been archived. And so at some point during that discussion, it came out of the archives, which was amazing because it's good when those things happen as opposed to days after the meeting when you're like, oh shit. Damn it.
Yeah.
So we were talking about that, and we decided it would be a good idea. Now, the Blair Witch thing, Blair Witch-style video is something that we've tried to do before.
I don't know where the footage is. I think it's on a digital 8 tape somewhere. But in season 2, I think, we tried to do a Blair Witch video. And when I say we tried, I mean we were like...
For Halloween?
Yeah, we were like, hey, let's do a Blair Witch video. And we took the camera with night shot out to the park and filmed some stuff.
Something.
Like, we didn't actually plan in advance, and we just went there and realized we had absolutely nothing.
Well, Blair Witch people, it's not like they actually planned, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I recall Bill and Connor being there, for sure. I don't know who else was there, but suffice to say, it never panned out, and we have not since then tried to do a Blair Witch parody.
But, the idea with this, of course, was to say, okay, it's Blair Witch, but it's planned, obviously, and it's with the Hustle characters. And, like, we sort of had an initial brainstorming session about it, and it was like, yeah, well, what if Matt was the bad guy? Matt is, for some reason, jaded and taking it out on the rest of the crew. So that was what was in place before. And then at some point later on, Tally was already making these creepy dolls. Because
yeah, that's been in the works since... When did you guys ask me about that? August? July or August?
A little while after the hustle involving the creepy doll.
Yeah, but people have been asking about the creepy dolls, right? Or asking if creepy dolls would be available for purchase was basically the thing. And it was sort of a why not situation. So Tally was already working on some creepy dolls.
In case you missed it, they were briefly available for purchase. They sold out so fast.
Very, very brief.
This is what happens when you have handmade merchandise. I set about trying to write stuff based on that. And what came out was what you saw. So the idea there was a fake out. I mean, that was the idea in the first place, to make it look like we were doing another remake of The Basement, because people love remakes so much and are, you know, so...
Funnily enough, it didn't save Jeremy any time writing it.
Yeah, it's interesting that, but you know,
I'm a big fan of the line. It's all very meta, because We do legitimately love meta humor. We do a lot of stuff like that. But
I just like us, like, yeah, it's the Loading Ready Run and Commodore Hustle in general. Like, Commodore Hustle and Loading Ready Run are hacks. Right, and right. And so we think we're a lot smarter than we actually are.
Yeah, and in other Commodore Hustle things, whenever you see us writing a script, it's always like about farting or
yeah,
or
and we think
pelvic thrusting,
and we think it's
like
brilliant, right? Yeah, we're like, okay, no, that's amazing. So in this case, like, we're doing a remake of a remake, and yes, that's so meta. Curiously enough, the video itself is very meta because it's a video about us making a video, and has all those like pokes at the forums and things like that, which are not meant to be digs at the forum. Incidentally, it's just meant to incorporate forum discussions back into the video.
Good natured, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, here's us living up to all those things that we have been accused of. that's not digging. So yeah, it's that's basically where that came from, and I kind of figured that it would be quick-ish to film, and it was an interesting experience doing all the long takes, because of course
you mean it was an interesting experience sitting back and watching while everybody else did the long takes? Is that what you mean?
One of my favorite quotes from the filming of this was actually Paul going, "I'm not even in this video, and I'm doing more work than you," as I lay around being dead
totally
or unconscious
true.
The yeah, entire time.
Because I was doing the boom for it, and of course the camera was being traded off to different people.
Yeah.
And I was holding the boom, and so like the last scene there, where we're all running after, or everybody's running after Matt, it was seriously. Like, we had to do that, like, 5 or 6 times. Like, we had to do that a number of times. And Jared was, like, sitting on the bench, just being like, yeah, do that more.
Yeah.
Like, I'd kind of pictured it like this originally when I was thinking it. Yeah. No, that's true. But I don't know. I kind of felt it appropriate to write myself into unconsciousness.
It was fun figuring out all the different different shots and figuring out how we're going to do various things in a long take, and weirdly, the bit where it goes completely black, we could have cut there.
Yeah, it's
but,
true,
but we didn't. It's Alex actually hands the camera over to me and all that.
How many cuts were in the entire video?
The whole video. Okay, there was a cut. Well, I mean, there was obviously the first two cuts where it goes to titles, and okay.
No, it never goes to titles.
Like, well, no.
It goes to the text.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, originally it did have the Commodore Hustle intro sort of included, and so there was actually a beat where it went completely dark. It stopped, and there was a cut there, but we ended up removing that by changing that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So there's those two bits, obviously. Then there's when Alex tells, or when Jared tells Alex, or asks Alex if the camera's still on. So that's one.
Yeah.
Another when we find Jared is unconscious. So that's two.
Yeah.
Then one when the battery runs out, which we do legitimately have a really crappy third-party battery that dies after like 10
Yeah,
minutes.
That actually happened during that.
That was scripted.
Filming of this video.
Yeah, that was scripted, but that happened during the filming of the video.
Yeah, yeah. The battery, technically I realized afterwards it should have been like, there's a battery on the charger, because of course it wasn't charging because the power was out.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, well. And there is actually a cut when we run outside.
Oh, that's so beautifully done, though.
Yeah, there was some debate on the forums as to whether or not that was actually a cut, but it worked out really well. Because on the inside, the camera was the ISO on the camera was cranked up because it was dark, and then as soon as Alex got towards the front door, it got blown out. So then when we did the shot outside, he started with it more blown out than it should be and then cranked it down to actually fade that manually.
And it looks fantastic. Oh,
wow. How many shots do you think we did of that outside one?
I'm going to guess like
five or six.
Yeah.
I mean, we did a bunch of practice runs too, so that makes it a little bit
makes
harder
it feel
to
like
judge.
A bit more, yeah.
I think it felt like it took so long just because it was a long shot. I don't think we did it too many times before we got it right, but it just every time we had to repeat it, it took...
Yeah.
Ultimately, the video itself did not take a long time to shoot.
No,
because
it worked out well. We even had enough time to shoot another basement crap shot.
Yes.
Nice thinking about those long shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also makes it easier for me in editing. Although, it wasn't quite as easy as I thought it would be in editing, because we had forgotten to record Matt's dialogue.
Yes.
As the creepy voice from the other room. He's reading it on set, but he's like in the other room and is, you know, like, "You know why I brought you here?"
Yeah.
No, I'm not Jer. You know, so that doesn't sound... No amount of filtering is going to make that creepy. So I actually recorded those... the lines of
so if someone wanted to maintain the suspense for themselves but try and figure it out and actually took the audio and removed the filters from it to try and figure out who it was,
it'd be really confusing.
It wouldn't work.
Yeah, because I knew there'd be filters on it. So I pitched it and did the pitch mixing like we do with the Warriors of Darkness, so it sounded a little unhuman, and then also added the reverb because he's talking through the pipes.
Yeah,
and
it's Matt. We can explain that by, you know, Matt is using a special voice. Filter thing so that his identity is hidden in the video that makes him sound like Graham.
Yeah. There you go. Actually, there's to explain the one other sort of logical inconsistency that people have pointed out, which was not supposed to be a logical inconsistency. The fact that I'm using a cell phone in the beginning and then it's explained later on that the basement has become a Faraday cage.
I think you can do that with electromagnets.
Yeah, that was the idea, is that Matt has rigged up something. Because the basement itself would not be impermeable to cell phone radiation at all.
Yeah.
Considering they're like windows and stuff.
Exactly. So, no, that's something that has happened in that time. And my original thought was that maybe, because Paul wasn't in the video at all, maybe there would be a stinger where, you know, like, you guys, like, everyone else ran into Paul at some point, and he's like, hey, Paul, what you been doing? Oh, nothing, I just finished a Faraday cage, or something like that.
Dun, dun, dun.
I kind of, like, in some ways, because I'm not in this one, like, this is sort of the kind of thing that Paul from Commodore Hustle might... like, probably wouldn't actually do, but if Matt was like, hey, can you help me out with this?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, well, exactly. And that
sounds like
that's sort of where I was going with
and
that.
So the fact that I'm not in it, like, Matt and me are the only two who aren't visible in it. So, you know, it quickly narrows down.
The four possible suspects for this, like, leading up to the end of the video are you, Matt, Jeff, and myself.
Yeah, it's true. I thought people would think that it would be Jeff, because the like writing hack on the forehead is a very Jeff
somebody
move.
Somebody commented that they about Gib.
I guess
that would have been pretty funny too.
I mean, he could totally.
Does Gib exist in the Commodore Hustle universe?
No, I don't think he's been.
He's never actually shown up.
Has he shown up like in a like?
In the background.
Like one of us using him at some point.
No,
or?
I
guess
so.
Not. So he hasn't been.
So
he hasn't been shown to not exist.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think we could totally introduce him as like a character in and of himself, independent from the crew.
Yeah.
Which would totally be the way to do it.
Anyway, and just to leave you with a teaser, the other reason that I wrote this in the first place was to free up Graham to write a different Commodore Hustle script.
Ooh. Dun dun dun.
So there you go.
Right, next video was Show Me Your Moves, working title of Yoga.
Actually, and then I came up with the title that I think we just, I didn't mention it, but what was it? Strategic Positions.
Oh, that would have been good.
I think I said something really quick in passing. You went cool, and then...
No, totally forgot.
Yeah, didn't write it down. That was my bad.
It was late editing night, and I was like, what am I going to call this? Because yoga kind of doesn't really work as a name.
So that one, sometime during the summer, when I was working at the university, I don't even remember what started the conversation, but my coworkers and I were talking, probably because we were doing a yoga workshop with the students, and I made some offhand remark just sort of making fun of yoga about, oh yeah, well, you know, downward facing starfish pose, and everybody laughed, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cute, and then I was like... Just doing video making fun of yoga, because there's just so... And then it sat for, like, months in my head, and I never figured out what on earth to do with it until, I don't know, one day I was suddenly like, gamer yoga, that's how this could work. But I commented on the Escapist forums that I have done yoga. I don't do it regularly now, but I used to work for people who ran a hot yoga studio, so I've done hot yoga.
That's your for real yoga mat.
Yeah, it is, and my for real yoga clothes. And I really like it. It's a lot of sort of fun. It's really intense. I think it's really good for you. I think the benefits are real, but it's one of those things that people get really overzealous about sometimes. And even when they don't, the teaching in the room is always very repetitive. So the teachers actually have to memorize, at least in the instance of hot yoga, they have to memorize the words for each of the poses. And they don't say the exact same thing every time. They say several of the exact same things, and then they can mix it up with either silence while you hold the pose, or saying, okay, I'm going to count down while we hold the pose, or keep going, lean down harder, you know, whatever. But it's very repetitive, and it's very sort of serious, quiet, you're reflecting on yourself, and you're, it's good, but it's also one of those things that screams to be made fun of, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean,
through no fault of its own, it attracts silly people.
And, I mean, this is one of those scripts that obviously, you know, does come from a place of knowledge, you know, from a personal experience on your part.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the tree-hugging pose is based on a move called tree pose, and I just messed with the arms. The noble moose pose is similar to a lot of different lunge poses you do in yoga, again, with silly arms. And the whole sit down in the chair thing is something that you do, or sit down in the invisible warthog, is something that you do for several different yoga poses. So, and then downward facing starfish, I mean, you have rabbit pose and downward facing dog pose and all those things. So it,
The one criticism I heard was that there, it was too Halo centric, the video game poses.
Yeah, which, that was funny.
I don't know. But
it wasn't actually that Halo centric. It was that, we did. If you count the different moves that are in there, there aren't actually that many. And we added, like Jeremy added in a couple of remarks that made them better, like the sitting in the invisible warthog. I had just
right that pose.
I think that was Graham's suggestion.
But that pose wasn't originally a Halo pose. That was just a gaming pose.
Yeah, and you know, blowing shit up.
Well, Jared just started riffing on a couple lines, just adding, you know, like. Because the line, you know, like, no, like this, like you're holding an assault rifle, to which Jer added, you know, if you're a noob.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we added that in.
We Halo-ified it up a little more than it originally had been, but there's also just not a very big sampling size in the video. So, you know, I can see why people thought that. And at some point, it would be fun to make up more poses and write a list of... I mean, the one that we did at the end, the what people have been calling the teabagging pose, we were doing that, like, for several minutes while we got in sync and then filmed it, and then we tried it again, and it's like, you know, this is actually a workout. That was not really a yoga pose.
Do a whole line of Tally's gamer yoga.
Yeah. We felt the Spartan victory pose got the joke across without just coming right out and saying teabagging, which is exactly what it was.
Spartan victory pose was the, like, possibly the perfect way to.
I think that line, oh wow, I can really feel the burn, is one of the lines I am most proud of ever.
Yeah.
And then a random dig at Lululemon because.
Seriously, it's retarded.
We're allowed to dig on Lululemon because they're from here. So.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, their bra that I was wearing, the sports bra, was Lululemon. But their pants, like, okay, they'll hem them for you in store. That's nice. Yes, mostly they make your ass look good. That's nice.
It should be mentioned that ending was not scripted.
Well, it's so.
Like, I think someone in the credits was like, "Boy, that was a long walk for that punchline." It's like that
punchline was not
that
point.
Wasn't what it was meant to be.
I mean, I think that we all kind of felt when we were as we were filming it that the ending was funny, but that it needed a little bit more punch to it. Like there needed to be a stronger beat there.
Yeah,
Hardy and Jer basically at the same time had the same idea. Let's turn this into a PSA about people who buy expensive yoga gear.
And it did fit with the intent. Like part of the problem was that the last line I had Jeremy or Mitch saying was kind of hokey, just in that I think it was something like, too late, addiction is a terrible thing. And I didn't like the addiction is a terrible thing part of the line, but I wasn't sure if he just said too late.
Well, it
if,
sounds
if
like something from an after school
really
special, though, which is, I think, where we got on that track.
Yeah,
from.
So then we sort of took the intent of it and changed how it, so I don't know, it was fun.
Yeah, I think it turned out pretty well.
I'm just going to make a special announcement at this point that Paul has created an Eldrazi monument in front of himself by stacking Eldrazi spawn.
Oh, yeah, this is Eldrazi spawn in a monument.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So,
all right.
There you go.
Anyway, thanks to everybody who enjoyed it. It was fun, and it went really fast.
It was a quick shoot. We started really late because you had to work, but it was quick when we started.
Work. Yay. It's, I don't know. Jeremy had a couple of long lines, and I had a couple, but it seemed to help when you have lines that are describing that the movements that you are actually, in fact, doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an old actor's trick to do.
Yeah,
they say
like stage actors do that.
Completely from unintentional on my part, but
from a brief behind-the-scenes filmmaking perspective, this is one of the videos that was actually shot in chronological order rather than all of one person's shots and all the other person's shots, because it would have been really hard to keep track of who was supposed to be where and what they were doing if we did it all broken up. So, the more you know. Unskippable, we did Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, starring a giant of a man.
Yeah, which is, it's one of those ones where he just sort of looks like a dude, but then when you actually see him compared to other people, you realize that he is actually, 2 feet taller than everybody else in the game.
That in my mind, that is fine. I want my Castlevania lead characters to look like Conan. Providing they don't look like girls, unless they are girls, I suppose, it's fine.
But they do. I thought they were supposed to.
No,
that's a recent thing.
That is a recent thing. That is a divergence from the norm.
Okay, sorry.
Saying nothing of the game. Saying nothing of the game. They did originally used to be action games, and apparently this is a return to form in that regard.
It's
return to someone else's form.
I talked about it a little bit on those games you played, so I won't talk about the actual game too much, but the... this was one of the, I guess, a little bit more chopped up than we usually do.
Well, we did.
It was like three different bits.
It was only two, but we cut out the bit with where he fights all the werewolves and then the big warg.
Yeah, which is a fairly long.
Yeah, so it cuts from werewolf jumping at him to him with a dead warg, which you're like, wait, what happened? But
he beat up a bunch of werewolves. It wasn't really that special.
Patrick Stewart is my favorite part of that, because one is Patrick Stewart, and two, he's like a creepy stalker. He's like, I've watched him from the shadows. I've seen everything. I've seen it.
It doesn't get better as the game progresses either.
No, he's literally stalking Gabriel. He's just like, yes.
Like, he's actually a guy in the game. Like, he shows up later on.
Totally killed some werewolves. It was so hot.
Man, can you imagine Patrick Stewart reading some, like, high fantasy erotic / fiction as an audiobook?
That'd be awesome.
I think I can imagine.
I love listening to Patrick Stewart say filthy things. It's so good.
Well, see there, if you had to be stalked by somebody, really.
Yeah, it's the episode of American Dad, because he plays Stan Smith's boss, and he's going out with Stan's daughter. It's like, do you perchance have any Gatorade? I seem to have left all my electrolytes with your daughter.
Patrick Stewart's secretly kind of an awesome dude.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think it's a secret.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, so yeah, there's Castlevania. The next Unskippable was the first part.
The first part.
White Knight Chronicles,
which we decided to do as a two-parter because it just kept freaking going.
Yeah, I was capturing it because it was on the PS3 and I had to capture it from home rather than the office. And I was watching it and I'm like, boy, this just goes on. Like, there's... The full and complete opening cutscene is like 9.5 minutes with no breaks. Like, sometimes in some games we have to use like a bit from here and then there's a tutorial level and then we use a bit from there. This is just 9.5 minutes of introducing like 25 characters that you don't give a crap about, and then your guy.
And then your guy who doesn't really. Oh, I guess you'll see that in the next thing.
You'll see it on Monday. Yeah. Well, you probably have already seen it by the time
this goes.
By the time you hear it, but yeah. It's a shame because I like level 5. I like level 5 a lot. They make the Professor Layton games and they make the Phoenix Wright games. But
No, sorry.
But they make the Professor Layton games.
They make Dark Cloud games.
They make Dark Quest
and Dragon Quest.
And but this John game Dark on the PSP was great.
This game looks just
level 5.
Really kind of painful. And everyone has goofy names. Cisna. Sarvain.
Sizzla.
Cisna.
Like
spelt like Cessna. We made that joke.
They're also responsible. I mean, this is not necessarily talking about the opening cutscene, but the fact that if you want to play White Knight Chronicles 2, you must have completed White Knight Chronicles. Do you remember that?
What?
Yeah. In order to play the second game, you must have a save file from the end of the first one.
What the fuck?
Evil.
But the second one comes with a copy of the first one.
Oh, wow. Is that out already?
I think only in Japan.
Dang. Can't wait for that to come over
that
here.
That is an interesting idea.
Wait, I was about to say we'll have to hit that up for Unskippable, but we won't be able to.
Right, you won't
be able to watch the opening.
You'll probably be able to, yeah, maybe, or maybe the like pre-credits roll, or you know, that thing that they do that's a montage of cutscenes.
One would hope.
But,
jeez.
Yeah.
Those rarely work. We've tried those before. They don't, they're so disjointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Unskippable tends to be just like, what, what's going on now? It's kind of dumb.
So.
ENN,
which episodes are we doing, James?
Is.
Sorry.
Nintendon't.
There's Nintendon't and
the one before that.
The
why is my
is it more room to grow?
Why yeah, it was probably more room to grow.
What's wrong, Chrome?
Yeah, no, it's,
yeah, it is more room to grow.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, that was basically on the day of when we were going through and talking about all the stories. On that day, I Microsoft put out the ad, and I was like, really? There's a freaking ballroom.
Yeah.
Like, there's literally a ballroom and a gymnasium.
Yeah.
Is what they're putting forward like as huge, ideal circumstances.
A huge abandoned office, a train station.
And we had already done the other story, so it was like, oh, this is perfect.
Well, yeah, my first thought was, you know, oh no, we already did that story, so should we do it again? But then you know, it's sort of like the other shoe drop. If we make it, if we're really apparent about the fact that we did it again and make it look like we're breaking news and that people are getting defensive about it, then that's a good angle to take.
Yeah, I believe there are some people.
I like that only now that it's been released am I seeing stories about people being like, holy crap, you really need a lot of space.
Yeah.
But some people in the forums did, I believe, actually thought that, you know, we had heard from Microsoft.
Uh-huh. Right.
Which is not the case.
No.
But we did, yeah, we actually totally, like it says in the story, actually, you know, contrary to actually what we were trying to do, we actually kind of broke the story on this one. Yeah. It wasn't really intentional, we just thought it would be funny, but that was actually kind of a piece of news.
It's interesting to look at, I mean, there's that video out on YouTube now of the person looking at the Kinect with IR glasses,
which is cool.
Awesome.
And it shows you what it sees and the fact that it generates these rings. And one of the rings, like sense rings that it uses to judge depth, is 6 feet away, which would indicate that it can't actually really judge depth inside that space at all.
That's why someone, I think it was on Twitter, someone
was telling me that
we know who works there, that in smaller locations, if you put it higher and aim it down, it'll actually be more successful.
Well, I guess it would aim itself down, right?
Yes.
And there's also stuff about, like, it's picky. Apparently, it's picky about, like, how clean your floor is.
Really?
What?
Like, your floor has to be, like, flat. So if you've got, like, stuff on your floor, then it'll get mad at you.
Huh.
Oh, very strange. College students.
Yeah. So it's actually
college students can't use it. Sorry, we've the space requirements.
Yeah,
already,
the space requirements already.
We all know it's not for them anyhow.
Yeah, it seems like it's being. I've Twittered this. It seems like it's being manufactured for people in those in those McMansion houses in suburbs. Like, I was thinking about it. Jeremy says this can't work in our living room, and I'm like, oh yeah, you know, we're poor young people, whatever. And then I'm thinking about it, I'm like, it also wouldn't work in my parents' living room, in your parents' living room. Like, it just,
it's
old small houses.
Like, yeah, I think if my parents cleaned out, like moved everything in the living room, they could probably fit it in. But
yeah,
of course, my parents wouldn't want it. But
yeah, I figured out that if we moved everything, if we moved the coffee table and couch to opposite sides of the living room, so that there was
which
basically
would make
a corridor,
our apartment completely unfunctional.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to get anywhere in the apartment at that point. But if you moved both of those out of the way, you could actually use it. But yeah.
if I pushed my coffee table out of the way and made sure that my couch was right against the back wall, I could probably just use it.
Good thing we tried it out at PAX. Gee, that was fun. Yeah.
It was fun at PAX. I will admit that.
Oh, it was great fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I'm just not.
It's just not. It's not for us. That's fine.
I still kind of want to get one for the sake of playing Dance Central and Children of Eden, but Children of Eden is going to have Child of Eden is going to have a traditional control mode, and
we could
really
all get one and set it up
$150
in here.
I know, I made that same call.
Yeah, I mean, as a party thing, maybe, but like the stuff with like, you know, like the racing game that's out for it. You don't control your car.
Well, you sort of do. Tell
you,
me
you don't.
That
you don't accelerate your car, or you just steer.
Well, no, you've got like a boost with it. But
yeah, but you.
It's
steer. There's I think.
No, no, you do. You steer, yeah. But you don't actually drive your car.
Oh no, but I don't know how. I mean, you're standing up, right?
But that's the point, right? Is that there's no go button like the or like the bowling game.
Yeah.
Is worse than the Wii bowling game in terms of how one-to-one it is because it has to just guess when the ball is released because there's no button to release.
Yeah. Well, and you can't stop at least. You just have to hit something.
It probably wouldn't really be able to pick up the spin in the same way that the Wii version does.
Yeah.
Apparently it's not bad.
Let's save that for those games we played because we could definitely talk about the Kinect this week.
Well, except none of us have actually played it.
No. No, but we can
all pass. We can speculate.
Yeah, exactly.
We can bitch and moan about things.
We can bitch and moan about it.
And then the other one we did was the Nintendo.
Nintendo's.
Yeah. She got our good friend Angela back.
Yeah. I just want to say I really liked her performance in that. That cracked me the
Nintendo rep she's that fantastic. Just does not understand what's going on.
Well, yeah, I like that it's not that she's in denial, is that she truly doesn't understand the concept.
It's like, what? Nintendo doesn't possibly sound like something we would do.
Which I kind of mirrors, like, you know, we've actually done lots of stories on ENN about Nintendo. Like, I believe Nintendo driving away in a giant rocket ship made of money was an actual thing we did in ENN. Yeah. So like, when I saw that, I was like, what? Nintendo?
Yeah.
And I actually did a double take on that. I was like, they have not made... Oh, weird.
That's it. That's exactly what I thought. And I was like, yeah, no, bring Angela out and just have her not get it, not understand.
I mean, to be fair, I think it's only the second quarterly loss they've posted in their entire company's history.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's the reason why it's weird, though, right?
That falls with the Calvin and Hobbes rule of don't do too well because then people won't have high expectations of you. So if you fail constantly when you get a C, hey, woot!
Yeah.
Also in that episode.
Also, the beam gun.
The beam gun.
It's worth mentioning that the rejected story for that week, once again, ENN Rejected, available if you are a Pub Club member. Every week there's outtakes.
Available if you're a good person.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, heavy handed there, Paul. Wow.
Wow. We're going to get letters for that one.
Yikes.
No, Paul is going to get
letters. It's Paul at loadingreadyrun.com.
Email me, Paul at loadingreadyrun.com.
Opinions of Paul do not reflect the opinions of Loading Ready Run.
Yeah. Was a story about how a stock company appraised Zynga as being worth more than Electronic Arts.
Yeah.
And then we do a callback to it in the thing with Zynga creators of Beamville or Beamlatronic Arts.
See, I actually when I was putting it together, because basically the Zynga story and Kathleen's other story were very similar, and I felt that the other one was the better story. And so I was like, you know, this is actually, it's okay, because they kind of get two stories for one. If they can get through the beam obfuscation, they might be able to glean the other story.
I liked Cliffy Beam talking about Beams of War 3. Actually, a lot of really good comments on the lower thirds for that episode, which people don't normally comment on.
Yeah with Duke Beamum.
Duke Beamum 6, ahead of schedule.
What were you wearing on your head?
I was wearing something that it's a head massager that we bought at Value Village because it looks like a sci-fi headdress.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was wearing one of the
raincoats from the shark.
One of the shark ponchos.
Well, yeah, Graham and Kathleen ended up looking so much like Doctor Who bad guys.
Oh yeah.
That I kind of went with it and I was like, okay, cool.
Possibly higher budget than most Doctor Who bad guys. At least in the old series.
Yeah, so that's why there's the creepy music in the background, even though it's not necessarily needed.
Yeah, and once again, because it's called Nintendo's, because there were three stories about Nintendo. Once again, just to be clear, the version of the Mario 25th anniversary is precisely Mario All-Stars. The issue we have with that is that it's the version of Mario All-Stars that doesn't have Super Mario World.
It's a worse version of Super Mario All-Stars.
Yeah, there was a version for the Super Nintendo that was released for free that was better.
Yeah. So there you go. All right, we should get some Askler because we got a lot of questions to crank through. Go for it, Steve.
From a rating of 0 to Paul, what is your opinion of the new Minecraft update? I haven't really played that much.
I'm trying to think of the changes.
Minecraft now?
I've checked out.
Sorry, you're playing Minecraft now too.
No, well, yeah, sort of.
A little bit.
A little.
Alex is very into it.
It's fun. I have not put anywhere near that much time into it.
The Alex update probably makes strange noises of glee.
Well, Alex has been playing a lot of survival multiplayer, which hasn't been greatly affected by the update. I love the new sunrise and sunset. That's really pretty. And I visited the Nether once, but I had it on peaceful mode, so I didn't see the ghasts, which apparently are fucking huge, according to Alex.
He was playing at one point, and I mean, the thing is that they make
horrible noises.
They make horrible noises that sound like crying children.
Yeah.
And,
oh my god.
They don't sound exactly
no,
crying children.
Like cooing children.
Like, yeah, it's like, creepy. That kind of thing.
And then when they get,
and when they get lit on, when they light themselves on fire, which they do with a fair amount of regularity, they go, and it's. And they're
well. That's their being hurt noise. But unfortunately, yeah, they light themselves on fire pretty routinely.
Because they shoot fireballs.
Yeah. Huh.
But they don't. Their noises aren't affected by distance, so you can
hear them
always. All the time, everywhere. And so at one point, he was playing across the room while I was editing ENN, and he just unplugged his headphones, and it was just like horrible noises coming out of his computer.
Awesome. That would explain some things about Alex.
All right. So, also, speaking of Minecraft, I just joined the Escapist server. Where are you located? In Central City. I don't think you got a place, did you? Or did you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I know Alex.
It's a new Central, so our old base isn't there.
Yeah.
Alex has a shop front somewhere in Central. I don't know where.
I went there yesterday because he showed it to me. I can't remember how to get there. Central's huge.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Anyways, a couple unrelated questions. If you lived in a fantasy-type world where fighting was commonplace, what weapons / magic would you specialize in?
I put it forward that in real fantasy worlds, fighting isn't actually commonplace.
Yeah.
You know, because if you like, if we were in a fantasy world, we would probably just be peasants, you know?
I think Graham's got it, though. I mean, long, I don't want to get hit with a big shot.
Yeah,
wait a minute. If fighting was commonplace, and I can only have one weapon or magic, healing magic. I would make hella the monies.
That's true.
Like
yeah, because you know, like, you gotta go long range. Because you know short range, even if you win the battle, you're still going to get, like, gangrene or something horrible.
Also, Robin Hood is, like, you know, the sexiest.
That's true. Robin Hood, yeah. If you can get so you can Robin Hood an arrow, that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah. All right. What background image are you using on your computers right now, and what sort of things do you look for in a background image? We'll just go around very quickly. At home, I don't remember. Here, default starbursty macOS thing. And on my iPhone, I just found a sweet picture of all the Doctor Who characters Lego formed. So now that's my background for my phone.
I have some awesome drawings I found on the high-res board.
I think that's what's at home, a high-res drawing.
And I can't remember the artist. I believe he's Korean, but it's just this gorgeously detailed cityscape. I wish I knew what his name was.
Hmm. My preference is for things that are uncluttered. So typically, but usually something I like.
So like, do I, but this background is honestly so detailed that it's just sort of like a wash.
Yeah.
Unless you go looking for it.
Yeah.
But continue.
But my current desktop background is an image of Luke Skywalker looking wistfully off into the distance, done up in the Obama colors with a new hope underneath him.
Very nice.
So it's like an Obama poster version of Luke Skywalker.
Very
it's
nice.
Quite funny.
There's a couple desktop pictures that I've actually used a couple variations on the last little while. There's this guy who does these really, really awesome paintings. But it's like a painting of basically a screenshot from a video game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so he did. There's one I had for a while of the opening section from Link to the Past, like the
house.
The house. And then and the one I have right now is a level of from Lemmings. But I really like dark backgrounds. It's very important for me that it's very dark. Also, and I have two monitors. So my secondary monitor is a picture by the great Lore Fitzgerald Soberg of My Neighbor Robocop, which is just a picture of the little girl from My Neighbor Totoro with a really huge fat Robocop with a leaf on his head, sitting in the rain by a bus stop.
That's awesome.
It's really awesome.
I tend to go for just those like swirly electric looking strange colored backgrounds, but like. If I was still monitor spanning, my absolute favorite background ever was to take the first area of Braid, like the outside bit with the destruction in the background. It's panoramic and it can cover two screens, so just span it all the way across two screens. That's really nice. Right now on my iPad, though, I have the picture of the P. Jangles family.
Oh, right, right.
With baby Roscoe and his mom and dad in sepia tones, which is nice.
I use photos a lot of the time, so right now I have one that I took when Jeremy and I went up island this summer with Canada geese on the beach at sunset and mountains in the background. Very pretty. So I like photos with that are fairly dark, not too busy, because I clutter my desktop with other things. And on my phone, I have a piece of art that I don't remember where I found it. Just through my random internet searching links, and there was this person doing sort of watercolor oil paintings that were all of, like, southern France and stuff, really pretty summer days. And so I have that. And in high school for a while, when Lord of the Rings was still fresh out, my desktop would always be some of the art, fan art and stuff, because there was so much beautiful stuff around of Lothlorien and the pen and ink drawings and stuff. So it's mostly what I've used for my desktops.
Cool. Kathleen?
I looked this up because when I heard this, I was like, oh, shit. I have a piece of art by a artist called Barnaby Ward on my desktop right now. If you scroll down to his blog, which is somefield.com, somefield.com, it's listed under desktop wallpapers. The post is like the 29th of November, 2008. He doesn't update his blog very often, but it's the very first one. It's a girl waiting at some sort of strange bus station with a little imp beside her. And it's really cool, and I try to find interesting pieces of original art as my desktop. But occasionally I do John Allison stuff. For my iPhone, I have one of my favorite pieces of art that I saw at MoMA. First time I went to New York, I saw it and was like, oh my god, that's amazing. It's a religious triptych. And when I went back last summer, I took a picture of it again and made it my desktop, or my iPhone wallpaper. It's been that way for a year. And I cannot, for the life of me, think of the artist that painted that triptych right now. And I apologize. But anyhow, Barnaby Ward is a really cool artist.
Sweet. Okay. Minecraft is great, but also really addictive. I know at least Matt and James have played WoW, which you made an entire video about its addictiveness. So the question is, how addictive do you guys actually find these games? And for everyone, what is the most addictive game you've ever played?
Everyone think about the round table so we can do that one quickly.
I don't actually find games like, I don't have an addictive personality. So yeah. I don't think any of us really have an addictive personality. We might like
know.
The game.
Alex has a serious Minecraft problem.
A lot of magic has been bought recently, James.
Yeah, but that's... Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I can...
I mean, long term here.
Probably, come around here. Alex just joined us, so...
I have gotten, like, dangerously involved in WoW before. Like, way, 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 way too hard.
Yeah.
But
nothing that you can get out of.
Well, it took me a long time. Like,
Speaking of which, where the hell were you on Thursday night?
A lot of rehabilitation.
Nobody texted me.
Thursday night, raid night, Matt.
Oh.
You're out.
You're an enabler, James.
I'm ready. Baldur's Gate 1.
It's tomorrow, right? Like, Sunday is the next one?
Yeah, right. I think we're going. Baldur's Gate. That's mine. Yeah. Easily, by far. Maybe that or Heroes of Might and Magic 2. We played a lot of that back in high school. A lot.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say Minecraft. It's just one of those games you can pick up and not put down for a long time. Although, like, I don't find myself, like, jonesing too hard for it. Like, I can go out and do other stuff. But
after about 48 hours, I start to twitch.
Yeah, the other thing is that, like, you don't feel so bad having played it because it's like you're building cool stuff. It really is just like Lego. And so
however,
like,
you got to justify it.
I honestly can't.
When are you done playing Lego?
Yeah,
I honestly can't think of my most addictive game.
GoldenEye, I guess. You were kind of addicted.
We were all into GoldenEye. I never felt like we were playing it like...
I never had a 64,
constantly.
So...
We kind of were.
I guess
grade 10, we played that game like every day.
We did other things, though, too. Like, we didn't just...
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
Mario Kart, too.
Yeah, that's true. I think maybe we just had a problem with the 64.
I mean,
then.
You and Alan played a lot more GoldenEye, like, even, like, when I wasn't around as well, but...
It's, I get like obsessed with games,
but
which
then
I
you're
would
done.
Considered. But yeah, yeah, but it's only always a very short term thing. It's yeah. just like, oh yeah. man, like when Portal came out, like I was super into Portal. And I played that. I played the hell out of that game, yeah. but. I haven't played it for a while. Like, I wouldn't call it an addiction.
It's yeah, just, like, I've...
It's just a very short-term
I was super obsessed with Peggle when I got it, or super obsessed with Plants vs. Zombies when I got it, but I
the first couple of weeks
playing it,
so. That I had Halo Reach, I was playing it too much. Like, I really was. I was on that credit chase. I was, you know, I was out there...
I never got into the credit chase at all.
I was out there. I was doing all the daily challenges. I was trying to get all the weekly challenges. I was like, yes, give me that paper. And, I was feeling like I was wasting time on it, so but that lasted for like a week. And Dragon Age was kind of the same thing. When I first like the first couple of weeks that I had Dragon Age, I put a lot of time into Dragon Age to the point where I was dreaming about it.
Right.
And like dreaming about not like the sex scenes or anything like that. I was dreaming about like dungeon crawling in Dragon Age.
Jared, if I can just quickly butt in here,
I've been there.
This may be a sign that I had a Minecraft problem, because at one point I would close my eyes and literally see ore blocks.
Yeah.
See, now the question is, when you dreamed about it, did you dream about you playing Dragon Age, or did you dream about like you being in
Dragon Age? No, I dreamt about playing Dragon Age.
See, that's the boring part. That's the stupid part. Like, if you're like... That's so annoying, right? I mean, that you have a dream, like a dream that you're in the fantasy world is kind of cool, but a dream where it's just you're just doing the thing that you just finished doing.
In a dream,
like,
it's so ephemeral. Like in the dream, you're like half in the game, half out of the game, you know, all that kind of stuff. But like,
I get very annoyed with that, where like you have a dream about something that you were just doing, and it's like, well, what the hell's the point of that?
Yeah,
I mean, like,
didn't solve anything.
But like on one hand, it's like, okay, yeah, I put like 170 hours into Dragon Age in total. Right, but on the other hand, like, so on one hand, that's 170 hours. On the other hand, that's the only game I played for like 4 months. So, yeah.
So
I think it's usually somewhat balanced by the fact of how much time you have available to be obsessed.
But I mean,
that's the trick, though, right?
If it's an addiction, you would be
taking. Yeah.
You would impact
much more questions. Yeah. So we should probably roll that along. So
I can't believe nobody said Bejeweled.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to say Bejeweled?
Yeah. Are you addicted to Bejeweled?
Puzzle Quest.
That would be you again.
Yeah.
What about this guy?
That's definitely you.
I just want to throw out there. So that's my contribution.
I just want to throw out there being addicted to the actual game of playing with Lego. I haven't touched Minecraft yet, but when my brother and I were growing up, we had a whole room where we had, like, just the whole room was filled with Lego, and we would go up there, and we had characters, and they would time travel and world travel, and we would just go to all these different worlds, and then we'd build a world, and we'd get tired of it, we'd build another one, they time travel, like, constantly.
She was
for
not
years
difficult to get into D&D.
Yeah. I didn't know about D&D, I didn't like all these other things, so the
but
whole...
that's not like an addiction,
that's just being
a kid.
Well, but it's the only game I can think of that I was playing constantly. I'm talking about, like, into high school. I know. I don't think it was a bad thing, but I kept it up for years.
In the daily drop, you have dropped a bunch of glass and ceramic things, and I assume you will do more. Was there any worry about shrapnel hitting the camera or any of you guys? Should there have been?
Okay.
Us? Don't give a shit. Camera? Very worried, because that thing is expensive.
There was one drop where I was worried about large pieces of glass shrapnel.
Which one?
Yeah. Well, no. I was mostly
we always should have been more concerned with the gal. None of us were really all that, like...
The day I showed up in sandals was probably
you can't
a bad
see it,
idea.
But our reaction to glass dropping for everybody around the camera was kind of like turn to the side and kind of close your eyes and maybe kind of cover your face.
I had a blast shield that I was hiding behind periodically.
Behind like an inch of glass.
Yeah, most like for some of the big glass ones.
A couple people got cut. I was filming once and I got a piece of shrapnel that hit me right on my knuckle and left the weirdest little bruised knuckle mark for a couple days. But
actually,
most of the people who got
the worst injuries was poor crowbarring.
Well, Alex and I both shredded our knuckles a bit crowbarring, and we can talk about that now, because that was what I was alluding to, and I was like, Alex and I both injured ourselves with a classic video game weapon.
It was unexpected, because, you know, like, you see in the high speed just how badly you did it, because I hit something with it, I can't remember what it was. But and
it
I
was
like,
the pepper
oh,
shaker,
I ripped my knuckles up. And when you go to the high speed, it looks like I put my hand on the ground and then raked it across.
Yeah.
It's bad news.
But the camera was actually predicted. We had this piece of plastic that we had in front of the camera.
You can see it in the wide shots.
Yeah, and
There were some actual, like, serious nicks in that piece of plastic by the time we were done. So I'm glad we had that.
Yeah.
And as well as various fluids.
Yeah.
Which were not pleasant.
What's the spiciest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, jeez.
Well, there was that time Morgan snorted chili pepper.
Oh, God, that was so hard to watch.
I've tried a bite of the Suicide Hot at...
Noodle Lux.
Yeah.
That was stupid.
Same thing.
That's just not fun. Like, that's to the point where there is no
taste. It's called Suicide Hot. Just, like, it's well, not no, saying this is not very hot.
I didn't order it to eat. I had the option. Like, I had
oh, yeah, it was somebody, like, got it and then left or something?
Yeah, I think that was it. And it was just unpleasant. Like, I like spicy foods. This was beyond spicy. This was just burn your mouth death. You had, there was no taste to it. Like, I can't understand why anybody would eat that.
I mean, I've eaten wasabi. Like, I've eaten big blobs of wasabi, which are, you know, like, it's the nice thing about wasabi is that you feel like you're gonna die for about 5 seconds.
Wasabi is a different kind of spice, though.
And then it goes away.
Yeah, it's like being punched in the nose.
Yeah,
right. You're like,
yeah, it goes up your nose.
Oh, it's fine now.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whereas, you know, like, yeah, something like the Suicide Hot will stick with you for a few minutes.
Is fine to me bread and milk.
Is wasabi not capsaicin?
No, it's different.
It's something different?
Yeah, it's a different different thing.
I never thought about it.
Before I moved to Victoria, I was friends with an East Indian guy, and his family had a habit of ordering...
Since you moved to Victoria, you can't be friends with East Indian people.
We don't really hang out anymore because he moved to Vancouver and I kind of lost touch with him. His family had, like, a custom pizza at the nearby pizza place that they would always order.
Uh-oh.
Basically, it was spicy death. Yeah. On a crust.
See, I try to avoid that kind of spicy stuff, although I did hear about a friend of mine from Bangladesh who was going to go there and bring back some Naga Yoloka peppers, which are the spiciest thing on earth. To, like, put this in perspective, like, a jalapeno is rated at about 7,000 Scovilles, and the Yolokas are, like, 1,500,000.
Yeah, they're the ghost peppers.
Yeah, we were talking about them the other day.
Yeah, that's the one that you need, like, a license to grow them in the United States.
I think so.
There's like three people who are licensed to grow them in the United States.
All right, we have
to handle them with gloves.
So many questions.
Okay, let's bust through these.
Yeah, if you were to make a horror game, how would you make it scary?
Make things jump out of cupboard.
Don't show the monster.
Yes.
And crackly radio sounds.
Yeah.
Or just
crying, they're laughing.
Yeah, just hear ambient
laughing children. Yeah. Yes, that's nothing great.
And limited field of vision.
Yes. All right.
And crappy controls so you don't feel like you're capable of escaping in any situation.
Well, no, that just makes a bad game.
No, that was part of what made Resident Evil so scary. It's like you can see the bad guys, but you did not feel
sufficiently capable. Yeah, but going back to Resident Evil, like playing
to get away.
Playing Code Veronica, it just felt annoying.
Okay,
yeah.
I gotta go.
Oh.
Sorry, Alex, what?
No, I was just gonna say that like feeling disempowered in a horror game is always terrifying. Like, and I didn't play it, but Clock Tower always seemed really scary because you're just like a dude or like a little girl with nothing.
Yeah.
Guy with giant shears trying to clip your head off.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've been dropping Halloween items for the upcoming and now past holiday. Without giving away too much, is this something that you'll continue to do for other holidays? Yes, it is.
Yep.
Yes.
No. How does Jared's dad feel about how you the fact that you guys keep going to his basement to film?
He thinks it's hilarious. And actually, like, having grown up in that house and all that kind of stuff, I know the bits and pieces of it. He thought that it was amazing that I clocked my head on that low-hanging pipe and got knocked unconscious because he's hit his head on that pipe so many times. And I didn't know that. I've just hit my head on that pipe a bunch of times, so...
I like that the time travel one.
Yeah.
That we did. It was the first thing we ever shot at your dad's place.
Yeah.
And now we've shot... For some reason, once we shot one thing there, we've shot, like, five things there now.
But he loves it. He thinks it's great. And he loves seeing them. So,
cool. All right. How many episodes of The Daily Drop do you have filmed?
A lot.
Quite a few.
over 100.
Yeah.
Well over 100.
Well over... Probably, like, 6 months. What is your favorite Batman movie? Mine's 1989 Batman.
Yeah.
No, that's just what he said. That's not mine, actual. I think...
I'm
probably
a big fan of 1989's Batman.
Yeah.
The first original Michael Keaton Batman was really good.
I'm going to have to go either Batman Begins or Batman from the 60s.
Which is available on Netflix.
Because some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Oh, man, that was good.
Yeah, the
original shark repellent.
The original Batman was the 1989 one was really good, and. Yeah, Batman Begins. I would definitely put Batman Begins above Dark Knight.
As a Batman movie, yes. As a, like, objectively the quality of the film, I would say Dark Knight is
still the better film, but...
Yeah, I like
Batman Begins.
There's some whimsicality in Batman Begins that I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
I also, frankly, just appreciate using Ra's al Ghul as a bad guy, because I think that he's underappreciated.
Yeah,
I think Batman Begins is what I would go with.
Yeah, I think Batman Begins got a bit of a... I think it was underrated for the quality of the film it was.
All right.
I thought it was rated pretty highly.
Yes and no.
Okay, no more Batman. Hi, guys. I was wondering if you could help me with an actual real-life situation. Me and my family are currently looking to immigrate from Wales to BC within a few years, and I was wondering, how would you describe life in BC? If possible, the Vancouver area. But any info is helpful. I know it's an odd request, but it would be very nice to get the opinion of other nerds.
I have two words. One, expensive. Two, wet.
Three,
which is probably cool. Probably what you're used to.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Wales. They're going to be good.
Yeah, they know what Wales is.
I would say pretty good, not as awesome as some people would necessarily make you think, and the politics are screwed up beyond all
the,
but
the politics
are
fucked beyond belief everywhere.
If
you're
all right politically,
expensive
here.
Is one of the bigger issues.
If you think that like ridiculousness is amusing in your politics, you love BC politics.
It's frontier politics. They swing from left wing to right wing based on scandals.
Like
that's
television.
In terms of the actual climate and stuff.
It's really nice.
It's really nice. Now, it's important to note that what England and Wales and the UK area has is, you have woods. We have forests.
Yeah.
Which is a very different kind of proposition.
Yeah.
The coastal rainforest thing is very different. There isn't space between the trees. The space between the trees is filled up with either other trees or crazy huge bushes or ferns or other stuff. So that's a little bit different. It's probably it's very, very green everywhere.
Yeah, depending on where you live in Wales, I'm not sure how the precipitation would relate.
Yeah, I don't actually know
the
that
Vancouver,
much about Wales.
The city of Vancouver is in a bowl of mountains, so the clouds come up, hit the bowl, and then dump all their rain.
Yeah.
So Vancouver gets twice as much precipitation as Victoria, but both cities get really nice weather most of the year round. It's a very mild climate.
Yeah.
Which is very nice.
Actually, living goes.
It's pretty chill.
It's pretty progressive. It's chill. The
people are super laid back.
They're not Midwest friendly, but they're friendly. They're pretty laissez-faire, and there's great food.
I would say in a cultural difference, I've never been to England or Wales, but it's important to know that Canadian sort of alcohol standards are extremely different than the ones in England and the ones down under and stuff. So it's not the kind of place there's pubs and restaurants, but the sort of consumption of alcohol is very different in Canada than it is in the UK. And Vancouver has a very strong dining out culture, and you can get food from all over the world. I would actually...
A lot of expats from the UK on Canada's west coast.
Yeah, Vancouver is just a very sort of global city in terms of its culture.
I would say that, Tally said people are laid back. I would actually say that Vancouver people aren't that laid back. Vancouver has this, thing that everybody's laid back. Vancouver's actually pretty serious.
The island has laid back.
And that's not a thing.
But,
that's
a real thing. I've noticed from living
there's
in both
definite
places.
Regional differences between Vancouver Island, where we live, Vancouver itself, the city, and then anything outside of Vancouver in the interior.
I would say there are even two interior zones.
Okay.
There's the Okanagan and then there's North.
That's fair, but the Okanagan is a fairly centralized community. But Northern BC and Vancouver, not at all the same.
Canada has a south too. It's called the North.
Yeah. The other thing I would point out, having lived in Europe, is that one of the first and most noticeable differences and culture shock causers for me going back and forth has been size. Everything in North America is built on just a different, bigger, far more spaced out scale.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Something weird to the cars, the streets, the houses, the cities.
Well, it's because this is something I noticed in Japan, which reminded me a lot of the UK, which weirded Kathleen out because she hasn't actually been there. But they're very similar in how they're constructed because they're both island nations that have been inhabited for thousands of years. Okay.
thousand years. No more than a thousand. A long time. And so they've had to deal with the space that they've had, and there's still vast open spaces in England, like huge rolling fields and, like Paul said, woods and stuff. And then the cities are constructed very sort of tightly and vertically. Whereas in North America, everyone was just like, there's no space here? All right, fuck it. We'll build over there. We'll build mass sprawl.
Well, I mean, they talked like when the settlers were originally going in through the United States, they just gave people land. They're like, hey, you want some land? Just keep, as long as you keep moving west.
Victoria and Vancouver are more compact than a lot of places in North America.
Yeah. But
it's one of those things that you do adjust to, but it's always something that I think you kind of... You miss and you end up feeling a little more comfortable in the space when you go home for a visit. It affects things like transit and the number of things you can keep in your house and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, but
it's...
Paul, last word, go.
Cheap pot.
Nice. Oh, all right.
Yeah, marijuana, not a big deal.
On that bombshell.
What is your favorite city to visit outside of Canada? I think we're all fans of Seattle, but we go there a lot.
I love Seattle. I love New York.
New York is pretty cool. I really
want to go back to New York.
Yeah.
That is probably the most fun I have had outside of Victoria, Vancouver in a long time. Part of that may just be being very used to Seattle. But
yeah, I got to agree with New York, Seattle, but I also have to say Chichester, just because I've been there a lot, because I have family there, and that's a personal preference.
I want to live in Seattle. If Seattle was part of Canada, I would move there.
If I had to move to the U.S., Seattle would be my location of choice.
I could not live in New York, but I could visit New York once a year and never get bored.
I didn't go to New York with you guys. I really like Boston, actually.
Yeah, Boston was great.
I want to like go back to Boston and bomb around New England for a while.
I am quite behind the idea of this year for PAX East staying a few days just in Boston.
I really like Paris, of course, but I think Berlin is one of the coolest cities I've ever been to.
I've never been to Europe, so I can't really
I'd also like to go to Aix-en-Provence.
Okay, moving on. Hey, Lure Crew, I'm in the process of getting my prosthetic legs.
Whoa, what?
He's getting prosthetic legs.
Cool.
And I'm planning on doing a 5K charity walk for Child's Play next year. Given your vast experience with Desert Bus, do you have any advice on an event like this?
Wow.
First, see if you can get something awesome with your legs.
Jeff is one of the people who's doing... Who's arranged for Cookie Brigade donations for
Desert Bus. Oh, sweet.
But see if you can get some sort of superpowered legs. I think that would be the first step.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to get new legs anyway, you
have NASA build them.
Cool ones. Yeah, exactly.
What else are they doing?
Rocket powered
legs.
Basically, audience interaction is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
If you, I don't know quite how that would work in a charity walk, but.
Well, if it's a 5K charity walk, you're talking like a couple hours at most.
Get a lot of people involved beforehand.
Get as many people involved as you can. Get as much publicity as you can. Figure out if you're doing it to raise money. Figure out what your donation scheme is going to be well in advance. Are you going to do it as a pledge drive, or is there going to be are you going to get a whole bunch of people to come and do an entry fee, and the entry fee is all donated to charity? That kind of thing.
Maybe try to figure out what specific demographic you're really aiming for too, and hit that up hard. Instead of just trying to appeal to anybody and everybody, go more specific.
Right.
We can't answer all of these. Two questions. How do you feel about Steam coming to Mac?
Happy.
That happened a while ago. Happy. What is your favorite performance of the person sitting to your right in an Escapist video? I know you've been asked that question before, but it was before the Escapist things, my booby.
We totally did that quite recently.
Yeah, we did.
Maybe the person recently. To the left, but...
To answer that question, Alex is the person sitting to my right, and he's a hack.
There's no way they heard that. We're not doing that one. That takes too long. How many videos are edited for... we kind of answered that. No, well, sort of. How many videos are edited for upload for Daily Drop? I think we go a week and a half.
Next week?
Yeah. blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to answer all your questions.
Sorry.
What the bus ever happened to Jer on the topic of Trapped?
Oh, we left him unconscious.
I got unconscious and left in the basement.
Yeah.
Remember, the people, us in Hustle, are kind of dicks.
Yeah.
Also, I will be in Alberta from the 18th to the 5th of January, December. Probably
if I were to road trip out there.
If he was to come out here, would he be greeted lovingly? Yes, of course.
But it's a longer road trip than you might think.
Yes.
Well, from Alberta, it's 12 hours.
Day and a half.
Yeah. It's actually not that long of a drive. What makes it long is
you get to Vancouver and then you go on a ferry.
Yeah.
The ferry has at least an hour and a half, if not.
The
ferry ride itself is an hour and 35 minutes, and you've got to wait for the ferry.
Well, yeah. And depending on the time of year, you might.
The ferry is the easy part. It's the 10-hour drive.
Where are they from?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
No.
But if you're driving from Alberta, it's like 10 hours to Vancouver, then you catch a ferry. Not that hard.
I asked on Desert Bus, but it was scoffed at. I need to know if Kathleen has a controller in her hand for 24 hours, how will we ever see a well-done caramel dance? And she's not driving the whole time. So when she's not driving, she can caramel dance.
Yes, she will have a controller in her hands for 24 hours, and then the rest of the time she won't.
Yes. So
there can be caramel dancing. I'm only going to show up during Desert Bus during my 24-hour shift. I'll be there,
Master Gunner, we have lots of pants.
Apparently the only thing anybody wants from you for the entire duration of Desert Bus is to caramel dance from start to finish, apparently. Because...
Okay, guys, the 24-hour gap
in that sets people off.
Okay, we're going to keep going.
Dan Zama asks...
No, damn it, I didn't want to do that. When reading out Askler questions in the Lurkcast, why don't you say who asked the questions? You used to, but then you stop.
It's random.
Yeah, just because it
saves... If you have a funny name, it saves time. You're likely to read it out.
Yeah, like the next person. How am I supposed to, like, write till CSF? No, that's too much work. given the 24-hour shifts for Desert Bus 4 and assuming James is going first, how does he feel about potentially being the first person on the entire planet to make it from Tucson to Vegas and back without any other assistance?
You get 2 points by yourself. In fact, you get 3 points by yourself.
Mm. Ooh, I will, yeah. I am excited. But then everybody else will just match that, so... It'll be a short-lived victory.
Except Bill.
No, I think Bill will do it.
I think it's definitely going to be an endurance run, though, in those last, like, 8 hours to not crash.
If your ears burn when people are talking about you, what are people doing when your balls burn?
They're fondling your balls.
Yeah.
No, they're whacking it to you.
They're letting your balls on fire?
Yeah. Dear Loading Ready Run, do big-name voice actors, i.e. Patrick Stewart, Castlevania, that's funny, Liam Neeson, Claudia Black... Steve Merchant, make for a better video game experience, or does it break the immersion by having you always think, hey, isn't that the guy from that thing? Particularly if you know the face, but it doesn't match the avatar.
I'm actually a huge nerd for that, so it does kind of take me out, because I'm always trying to... I'm always recognizing...
I find it doesn't take me away from the experience. It doesn't make it necessarily better.
In video games, not so much. I hate movies now. I hate animated movies now, because all they are just a hodgepodge of the biggest names in Hollywood.
The worst thing for me is when actors to do a huge central part in one video game, and I play like two games back to back that have the same voice actor doing different characters.
Yeah. It only takes me out of the game until I figure out who the actor is.
Yeah.
Like when I hear the voice, I'm like, who is that? Who is that? And then I figure it out. I'm like, oh, God. Like I was just playing Fallout New Vegas, and I went and talked to Mr. House.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know that voice, and it's Rene Auberjonois.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's fucking Odo. Oh, there we go. Okay, now I know who this is. Now I can keep playing. Odo.
Well, you do it. We have to pause movies so that Tally can figure it out.
Because then I can just watch the movie and not have to worry about where the heck I've seen them.
Are you ever going to return to the once a month hustle schedule, or are they just going to continue to come as you have the time?
We'd like to, but it's tough.
They'll come as we have the time.
We're aiming for monthly, but we're not going
to
hit the mark.
I'd like to see if we could do better next year than we did. I think we only got like 4 or 5 out this year.
Yeah.
Which wasn't great. So we'll try better next year.
Yeah.
In a previous podcast, we had talked about going back and doing the whole Askler thread.
Oh, like as a one-off?
As a one huge podcast.
It could still be in the cards.
Yeah. It's just a matter of finding some time. Because I want to spend, at least 2 hours on that. Because it'll take a while. What qualifies someone as a full member of Loading Ready Run crew when we tell them they are?
Yeah.
Also, when did each former member cease being a part of the crew?
It's a crew now, like the crew as it stands currently is someone who is paid and like shows up every week to do and has like set tasks.
Yeah. So, and is expected to show up because they are paid.
Yeah, and the people who aren't don't.
Yeah,
there you go. So
we didn't like shun them out of existence. They're still around.
So hey, for Graham, so this is my first post in the forum. And my first question: when and where did you obtain the high-speed camera you used for the Daily Drop? We rented the high-speed camera we used for the Daily Drop from a place in Ontario, and it wasn't cheap. Did you have the idea for DD before or after you found
Long
the camera?
Long before.
Well before. Finding the camera took forever.
Yeah, and it actually...
We didn't just go, oh, the camera. You know what we could do with a high-speed camera.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, it was... We thought it would be a lot easier to get the camera. Like, yeah. It almost, the finding the camera step almost scuppered the whole thing.
The people you got from, what did they actually
do? Touché, Elomen Shah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Touché.
Last year, you all had a go at Morgan for getting into Magic the Gathering, but now you pretty much all of you play it. Isn't that kind of hypocritical?
Yes.
It is. It very, very, very much is.
Any other questions?
But it's fun.
Some friends and I started a production group. That may turn into a company a bit too quickly for our own taste. We're kind of at a loss for camera, though. We've been using and borrowing Sony, whose name escapes me. We had a Canon XL2. Also, we had it on Max. What camera would you suggest we go, or would be a good for us to start with that won't break the bank? We don't really even need XL2 level quality, which is a Canon.
That's Sony, you know, HDV Handycam.
Yeah, the XL2 is the crazy one. That's the like pro one.
The one Tim's camera honestly is enough. Yeah. It has a microphone port. It's got HD if you really care about. Well, yeah,
heck,
you
ZI-8 should get HD.
Yeah, but that's I think a little. This is like a $600.
But like the prosumer. Prosumer point and shoot, like the Canon digital SLR is fine.
Yeah, the T2i is actually really good.
Yeah,
too.
Big fan of the Canon T2i. That's what we use now. It's a still camera with a great video mode.
The advantage to the T2 to something like the T2i is that it also is teaching you some actual like real photographic stuff with how to use, you know, f-stop and depth of field and all that kind of stuff.
All right. Have you ever gone to sites such as Failblog or Text from Last Night just so you can cheer yourself up when you're having a bad day?
Yeah,
I do
constantly.
I have a bookmark to F my life on the home screen of my iPhone.
Nice. Two questions. I pointed out on the wiki that because of Operation Kill James, James is likely to be one of the few people in the entire world who has scored 1 point in Desert Bus, but completely by himself. With the new format for Desert Bus, this could change. How do I feel about that? Whatever. I'm still the first person to ever score a single
And you're
point.
Still you're still going to be the person who has Desert Bus the most in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Potentially the first person to score
three points, as long as I don't fuck it up.
I actually inadvertently answered his second question in the thread, because I didn't realize what thread I was posting in.
Oh, well then screw you. We do... Oh, yeah. Okay.
You suck.
And then that's just us talking about me failing at that.
Perfect. I just knocked through like six posts. Dear Loading Ready Run, in future archaeologists were to excavate the previous and current Lur moon bases, what would they conclude about Lur and society as a whole at the beginning of the 21st century?
That we created lots of green walls.
Yeah,
we like green walls.
And we liked hats.
Yeah. This was a largely silly hat.
But like, if you
culture.
Look at all our moon bases,
the
two of which are empty
now. On the walls.
Well, two of which are actually destroyed now, so you couldn't excavate them.
No, they're still there. They're just empty and abandoned.
The building was actually getting demolished.
Well, it's once they find a buyer. The sign on it says "Build to Suit."
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Last question, dear Loading Ready Run. If you woke up in the realm of your favorite video game franchise, what would you do, and what would the music in your head be?
Probably be afraid. See, the problem with most video games is that what makes them fun is not something that you would want to personally experience.
Well, true. I would be annoyed because I would be probably a Japanese high school student, which would be irritating. But I would also have cool superpowers that I could release by channeling my... by doing stuff like shooting myself in the head or, you know.
You got to make sure you have that superpower before you test that, though.
See, I wouldn't wake up in a JRPG world, but if you did, I don't know, maybe Kathleen would. You'd wear a lot of buckles, and I don't think you'd be able to get dressed in the morning.
I'd be afraid
to go to the bathroom, too.
Yeah, I mean, geez.
I'd be afraid to go anywhere for fear of rad scorpions.
Yeah. Or like
I love Fallout. I wouldn't want to live there.
Like my favorite, one of my favorite games is Portal. But the actual person in Portal has not having a good
day. No, she's not having a good day.
I might do what I did when I started playing Oblivion, which is the first video game I ever started playing, and I loved the world and I explored and I'd go into a place and there would be a fight and I would run away because I wasn't good enough to fight.
So what are we going to do about the questions we missed?
Did we skip questions?
There's still like another page and a half.
Okay,
but we're already an hour and 15 minutes, so we need to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Either We'll try to answer them next week, or I will just answer them in written form on the forums.
Yeah, I think we should. I think if we want to keep with this whole thing, then or people could just like re-ask them next week.
I don't.
Because like,
we end up in the same.
We're gonna run into the same situation. I think we need to sort of.
No, but I think the thing is, we can't answer these. Like, we have to put the. We have to put the foot down and not answer this question.
I could lock the thread earlier and not give it 2 weeks, give it 1 week.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just, I mean, maybe lock it after a certain number. I mean, we also originally said that if questions are stupid, we will skip them. So
yeah.
we could be more a little bit more discerning in what questions.
This one was open for longer than it should have been.
Yeah.
So. All right.
All right.
We're out.
Toodles.
We out.
Stretch before podcasting.
And don't buy clothes.